This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
We are really live here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. Just sent the word out that the show is starting. So those of you who hop on, we'll be seeing you in a minute. So I am here. Good morning. Good morning. I'm waving. So we are here in it's called Indio. It's kind of east of Palm Springs, away for the holiday weekend. But I would not pass up on an opportunity to have my show. So waving. So anyway, those of you who are joined on already, you know the drill. I'm here for you, here for your pets. If you want to get a hold of me here on Pet Life Radio, all you have to do is just type away. The 800 number is not necessary anymore, so you're here on the show. You can join me and ask your questions. They'll come in to Mark, and he'll pass them on to me. Rick, how you doing? How's Reed doing? And we're getting the medication in. So let's see. I gave it to my 3.5. Which one is that? The new Q. When you gave it to my 3.5-year-old, OCU score came out ridiculously high. You know, I have not used it. I have not recommended it. So I don't really know yet how to read it. Is that saying that things are good, ridiculously high, or bad, ridiculously high? Fill me in on what exactly is it looking for, the new Q? I've heard of it. I've seen it at the trade shows. I have not had any of the drug reps prime us on it, and it doesn't seem like I would need more information. Reed, I'm glad Reed is doing. Reed is a beautiful 14-year-old corgi that had a mass on his neck, and it turned out that it was a huge clump of blood clots. And I knew that when I saw the clots, they had to be bleeding from somewhere, but we couldn't tell where. It turns out the skin itself in the subcutaneous tissue, there was hemangiosarcoma, which is a tumor. We're going to start treating this week with chemo. We removed as much as the clots as we could. And we have it's a double chemo for the first 3 months. It's going to be something called doxorubicin, which is Adriamycin, which is a really powerful anti-cancer drug. And then we're going to go into Palladia for another 3 months. Now, Palladia, by the way, that was the amazing drug that I used on my Labrador, who had a 15 years of age. We removed a very aggressive mast cell tumor, and he actually, with a Palladia, he lived a year and a half after, which is crazy. And it wasn't even the cancer that we finally had. It was 16 and a half. So that was great. So yeah, look for cancer. So I don't know how it does it. I don't know. I haven't heard enough from the science end of it, how accurate it is. So does a high score mean that there's cancer somewhere? So anyway. Oh, so hemangiosarcoma and lymphoma. Well, for those, you would have, for lymphoma, for both of them, they can be screening. You could do is if we're worried, we can do a thorough abdominal ultrasound. We could take some samples of the spleen and the liver and see if we see any of those weird cells. Hemangiosarcoma, we were just talking about Reed from my friend Rick, that it all depends because with hemangio, there's bleeding somewhere. And we're going to see some anemia. We're going to see, obviously, if it's bleeding into the belly from a spleen, we're going to see a big bloated abdomen full of blood. So there's bleeding. In this case, in Reed's case, it was all here in the neck, but it was subcutaneous. Subcutaneous is a very weird presentation. So anyway, that's HAB. So and we started reading about it. Good. That'll help the bleeding for sure. I'm waving. And so I would say what we should do is now that we have that high score, and if it is something that's accurate, there's no downside at all to coming in. I'll have my friend, Dr. Trivedi, come in and we'll do an amazing, his ultrasound machine is crazy. It's like looking at a photograph. That's how clear the images are. It's amazing. So we will go ahead and we'll get samples we can do. It's almost like when we do have hemangiosarcoma or lymphoma, we stage it. We want to stage it. What does that mean? We want to go to some of the other organs that will typically be metastatic organs like the liver, like a spleen when it comes to Mantio. We can't do it with the lungs. You're not going to poke holes into the lungs, but we can the liver. So we're going to go ahead and do a staging and see if that's, if it's real. But you know, when you have a dog that's, you know, only three, this is the fear of some of these tests, really. It can pick up whatever precursor it is that they're looking for. And the animal may have them, but doesn't have cancer. So here you are at 3 years of age, you're all worried, and maybe you shouldn't have to be. So what I would recommend is let's go ahead and do the staging and go from there. Good morning, Katie Poo. So yes, it replaced the Onco 9. I knew one of them was either coming off the market or was not doing well. Maybe it was the Onco 9. So with the full ultrasound and x-rays, what did they find? And the answer is probably nothing. So, all negative. I said some of these tests are nerve-wracking. It's like for people, you have these scans that you can do and they'll predict cancer. So you're fine. You're a great middle of life, healthy person, right? And all of a sudden you're going to get this test cack that says, you know, you're going to get cancer. Now you're going to drive yourself nuts. So I don't know. Squishy lump on the side. What should I expect moving forward with this vet appointment? So, it depends what the squishy lump is. Usually, if it's a skin squishy, it's probably a lipoma. 100% no. So if there's any concern, there are a number of things you can do. Number one, stick a needle into it, and have a cytology done. The problem with that is sometimes they're inconclusive or you miss the area that's important. So you get a negative or non-diagnostic, it still leaves you somewhere. Then you can have what I like to do is that HTV, it's a scan. It's a foreskin and skin masses, and it won't make a diagnosis and it won't tell you what it is, but it will tell you, is it behaving like normal tissue or not? And if it isn't, then you might want to have it removed. So that's sort of my first step instead of cytology. Now, if you were about to have a dentistry for your dog, right, and the dog will be under anesthesia, then just remove it. The best way to get an answer, an accurate answer to know what it is through biopsy, not cytology. So if you're lucky and you hit it in the right spot, then yes, you know what it is, but you don't know anything else about it. Whereas with a removal, and especially if you suspect, now if it's smushy and lump and soft, it probably isn't a mast cell tumor. So with mast cell tumors, or if I suspect a mast cell tumor, I'm going to get as wide a margin as I can, because that could be curative as well as diagnostic. If it's a mast cell grade 1 or 2. If it's a grade 3, that's a different story. So that's it for another show. But most of them, fortunately, are 1 and 2. And if you get it all and with good margins, it can be curative. With lipomas, you don't need such wide margins. So if it really feels mushy and squishy, or once you get in there, and this is what I often do, if I'm not sure what it is, if it feels like a lipoma, then I cut and it looks like a lipoma, I'm just going to take lipoma out. And not tell you a whole lot of skin. But if I get through the skin, look at the mass, and this is not a lipoma. I don't know what it is, but it's not a lipoma. Then I'm going to go wider on the margins. All right. To pay for it, all depends. If it's soft, and you know, every place is different. So, for us, if I would consider it a minor tumor, the actual tumor removal itself is about $250, $275 bucks, and then whatever the anesthesia is. So if it's a major tumor, it can range anywhere from $450 to over $1,000. So it all depends on its size, how deep it is, how difficult it is to remove, what's the connection, the attachment to the subcutaneous and deeper tissues, is it going into the body wall? There are so many things. In my area, because I have so many corporate practices and unfortunately, a lot of general practitioners aren't doing really these kinds of cancer surgeries. So then you have to refer to a specialty group. Then it's going to be ridiculous or absurd. So, fortunately, I do a lot of cancer surgery. So at least I can be very competitive. And that's the difference. So, I've seen prices coming from some of these places that drive me nuts. So what can I do? So I'm not sure what Rejensa is, but my flex basically is it's glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, some natural products. It's all for joint health. It's sometimes a little anti-inflammatory as well, but it's mostly is helping re-lubricate the joint surfaces, repair damaged joints. And it's almost like people taking glucosamine, chondroitin. I do it. I take it every day. I take a glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM supplement, and I feel great. All right. Hello, Cinnabart. I appreciate it. Makes me feel more prepared. Yes. So, Katie Poo, just also off site, you know, after the show, you can text me directly or on Instagram and let me know who your vet is and where you are too. All right. My dog had a 5 cc of radiation for brain. Wow. She on steroids. She was getting better. This is done 3 weeks ago and suddenly she is getting worse and can't stand. Oh God. Oh boy. I mean, most likely something like this, not the steroid. So it's most likely the brain, the lesion itself. And when you have these benign brain lesions, there's really nothing benign about them in the sense that depending on where they are. So if I had to guess, then you need to go back to the oncologist or the radon, the radiation oncologist, and you probably will need another MRI. Something else is going on. I mean, is it likely that there's a completely separate problem with nothing to do with the brain happening? It's possible, but usually when we have things like this and it's succeeding and it's preceding or a problem, okay, or it's coming after the problem and there was treatment. Of course, my first thought is when they did radiation, it may have hit a part of the brain that was more sensitive than maybe it should have been or it was predicted to be and caused a problem. So this is something you need to obviously follow up. And by the way, if it was just inflammatory, which it could be, the steroid should help that. So something else, I fear that something else may be going on. Yeah, again, a cause of inflammation, as I'm saying. Yes, I didn't even see that. I'm already telling you about it in advance. Yes, there's going to be inflammation post-radiation. That's why they put you on steroids. So if you want, continue the steroids, wait, you know, another 5, 6, 7 days. If it's getting worse during these 5 days, 6 days, then you 100% need to go back in. If it's getting a little better or holding its own, then give it a little more time and see if the steroids work. All right. Hello. Hello. Hi, guys. From those of you who are new, Conlev, or what is that? I get shit done. I like that. Ooh, that's a good name. So if you have any questions about your pets, now's the time to ask. So while we're getting some courage up and more people helping us all with your questions, let me, couple of things I wanted to talk about as I'm sitting here and hey, Tina, I'm sitting here in the desert. It's hot, over 100 degrees hot. And I realized, you know what, one of the things I wanted to talk about were there was something I saw on our newsfeed, and that is about leaving dogs, pets, cats, too, anything really, any animal in a parked car, even in the shade, even if the windows are cracked. Okay. It is very dangerous. That car is like a sweat box. It's like a sauna and it gets really hot very quickly. I did this thing years ago when I was doing home show and Gary Collins and I did this thing in photography and it is basically one of those cameras with the fast action camera and a huge thermometer, so you could see. And it got up to over 114 degrees in 8 minutes or 9 minutes. It was crazy because what's happening is the dog is going ahead and it is panting. Temperature coming out of the dog is 100 plus degrees, 100, 101, 102, right? And you're in an enclosure, even with the window cracked, it's still hot. So in California, for example, right, it is a crime, punishable with a fine, to leave your pet in a parked car. And if someone walks by and sees a pet in a car that seems to be in distress, they can break into your car, they can take a brick and crack a window and save the animal. And they won't get charged. So it's something you gotta know that it's very dangerous. Hold on, waving again. So let's see. All right, next case, boarding. Let's say you're going someplace for the summer. and you're having to board your pet, and you're boarding them maybe for the first time, and an area you've never been there before. The pet's never been there before. Are they going to get anxious? Are they going to get nervous? What's the deal? So one of the recommendations by these trainers are, before your trip, you should go take your pet to this facility. Let the pet meet the people. Let's see the other dogs. Maybe see where they might be staying, etc., in their suite, whatever it may be. And so it's something that will, it will help them adjust more quickly. So also, when you are going to bring your pet, bring along some things that will make him comfortable, some things that he is used to, his own toys, his own blanket, his own bed, maybe even his food and water bowl, some things that are familiar, and that will help as well. And of course, if you have that dog, like maybe one or two of mine, that get extremely anxious in situations like that, talk to your veterinarian, and you may have to resort to some drugs. So things like just things to calm them down. And it's not the end of the world. And many, and I think we talked about this last week, that some of the behaviors say that 80% of dogs have some degree of anxiety, fear disorder, and may need some help, some pharmacological help. So anyway, it's not so crazy. All right, here on Pet Life Radio, we're taking our big break. So we'll be back in a few minutes here on Pet Life. Don't go away here on Instagram. As soon as I mute myself from the radio, I will be here to join you. Hang on a second.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We're animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And I'm unmuted here. Ivy Blue, I just gave for the talk about the dogs in California. If you take a screenshot of the outdoor temperature, all right, of the video of the dog in the car, panting, anxious, and then you can break the dog out. All right, LA Pet Care, hello, hello. Speaking of boarding facilities, so we were just talking about how you can read a boarding facility and your pet's joy or lack thereof of watching them when they go in the door. If they're pulling you in the door, you know that they like it. If they're pulling you out, they don't want to go back in. So I would imagine that most of your pets that come in to see you are loving it. That's what I hear anyway. So yes, anxiety when we work together about it. Anxiety was always good. So it's interestingly, yes. And so LA Pet Care, love it. And so they, again, my sibs, yeah, will use LA Pet Care. And I don't need it only because we have somebody who stays in the house. And so we they're covered all the time. And, but, you know, it's good when they're excited to arrive and they're pulling away from you when you come to pick them up. Then you know that they had a great time while they were boarding. And, okay, next, traveling. So if you're traveling with pets, all right, there are a lot of things. We hear this all the time, that there are problems with people when they're traveling with their pets because of lack of preparedness. So let me give you a list of things. First of all, if you're doing by car or even traveling someplace by plane, first of all, you want to bring as many of your own things as you can, all right? Your own food, all right? Even if you're traveling by car, here's a trick. Fill up like a big 2-3 gallon, 5 gallon jug of water from the local spot where you're from. And then as you're traveling in the car, you're obviously stopping for breaks and giving him water. When you get to the next destination or truck stop or whatever it is, refill the jug with that local water. So now it's diluting slowly and it's introducing into water. And then next stop like this, and keep going and doing that. Every time you stop and use water, refill it with local water. And that will slowly introduce, because even water, even the change of water, because there are differences in areas that have their water supply, can make a difference with diarrhea. Of food, of course, we know that. You switch foods from good food A to good food B right away, you're going to have problems. So next would be medications, ID, have a picture, make sure they're an ID tag, make sure they're microchipped. That's very, very important because you never know. Animals are going to try to break away if they can. They're going to get nervous. They're going to get anxious. They're going to be afraid. And you need to always, when you get them out of the car, even for a break, a rest stop, you make sure you have your 100% control of that leash. Do not open the door thinking, oh, I'll catch him when he comes out and then I'll grab the leash. No, because you won't catch him. So those are important. Last thing I want to talk about, and this is a biggie, is if you're doing airline travel to visit some place or relatives. Number one, airlines say, oh, we're dog friendly. They may not accept certain dogs. Certain breeds, mostly the brachycephalics during the hot weather, the bulldogs, the Frenchies, the Pekingese, the pugs, the Boston Terriers, they may not be allowed on. All the little pushed in face dogs called the brachycephalics. So they, it might be Japanese chin. These are ones that you may have trouble with. Now, you may be able to bring them on the plane, but then they have to be the right size to fit under the seat. Or if they're legitimate service dogs, and some airlines now are coming down on that as well, because they know the same thing that happened with emotional support dogs is now happening with service dogs. You can go online and you can get your training certificate. You pay the money, you get everything you need to be have a service dog. So it's getting more and more difficult. And that's another good question, Ellie Peck here. Apple Tag or a GPS tracker like a Fitbark or Fi. So that's also a good thing to have. In fact, I went to pick up one of my friend's cats to bring to the office because she's a neighbor and a friend. And her other cat ran out the door when the door was open. And she goes, oh, don't worry about it. He goes in and out. And then she shows me a device she has. She can tell exactly not only where he is, but then she can hit a beep. And the cat knows that beep means to come home. So, I still am a little nervous about outdoor cats in my area because we have coyotes and we have cars and we have dogs. And I've heard and seen too many really bad things. So I still, my cats are all indoors, always have been, and they're going to stay that way. So, but anyway, that's important. But again, it would be a really wise idea to have some sort of tracker, and that will, the Apple tags are great. And I love the Fi collar. So all of those work really, really well. And also know where local ERs are. And of course, take vaccine records. So again, as much as you can bring, it's important. Now, back to travel, airline, we talked about, and car, we talked about. Now, here's another one, hotels. How many hotels are going to advertise pet friendly? A lot of them do. And a lot of them do a really, really nice job. And sometimes they go out. I mean, you walk into the room. If you let them, you have a bed and the bed and a little dog, cute little dog bowl and a bone. So it's really cute. But many of them have size requirements. And also they will let you know. They don't let you know unless you ask that some dogs that are too big are not allowed. They might have a limit of 40 pounds or 50 pounds, whatever it is. So you show up with your 100-pound, right, Mastiff. No, we can't accept that. Well, I drove X amount of miles. What am I doing now? So it's very important. These little details are of key importance when you are traveling. If you're going to be traveling for the summer, make sure you have it all organized, everything okay, everything certifiably correct, and then could have a really good trip. Now, one last thing, family. So you're going to visit your family, and can I bring my dog? And they go, yeah, sure. I know the dog. It'll be fine. Well, meanwhile, you get there, and maybe the dog's not so fine, or you didn't tell the family that you're bringing your dog. Now, if you never want to be invited back, then bring your dog, right? Without telling them. That's the best way. But if you're planning on it, you have to let them know and also make sure the dog gets best behavior. Remember one thing, especially male dogs, even neutered male dogs, they love to mark. They're going to go into a new home. It's different smells. And they go, wait a second. I'm here now. Now I got to put my smell on it. And they're going to be lifting their leg on lots of different things in the house. So again, you need to be really, really careful. And if you're going to go to Airbnb and LA Pet Care, right, Lauren, a great source of information. I guess this is what she does for a living. Check fencing, if it's going to be someone's house or an Airbnb where you're staying at. Again, that is also important. It's all about preparation. It's about safety. And the more you know, as the expression is, knowledge is king. The more you know, the better it's going to be, the safer it's going to be for your pets, and the more enjoyable your vacation will be. Nicole, hello. How are you? I'm talking so much, I sometimes miss good questions. So let me see. Cider is so expensive. It only lasts 5 weeks for my Malibu. Oh, the cider. Yeah. Ah, boy. My cloud chaser. So cider point. I love it. Expensive. Absolutely. Only lasts 5 weeks. You're lucky. Usually they advertise 4. And other than Apoquil, which is also expensive. All right. And now you have Zenrelia. Zenrelia is an Apoquil competitor. It is actually more expensive, just by a little. It's not that, but it does. It's good for a full 24 hours as opposed to 20 hours. So that one does work. Zenrelia does work. As far as others, I mean, if it's really bad and you need something that is gonna work, I apologize for saying this. Before Apoquil, before Cytopoint, before Zenrelia, we used corticosteroids. We used prednisone. And prednisone was very effective. Now, are there potential side effects? Yes. Would I recommend having a blood test done first? Yes. Do I recommend having a decreasing dose schedule? Yes. I only peep them twice a day for max 5 days. It's usually 3. If it's really bad, I'll go 5. And then I go 3 to 5 days, once a day, and then starting every other day. And as we start to improve, I'll even go every third day. The whole idea with prednisone in dogs is that you don't want to suppress the adrenal glands. And if you have too much steroid on board, right, from you giving medication, then the adrenal glands are going to shut down, potentially. And you're going to take a dog and you're going to make them Cushingoid by giving too much steroid, and ultimately an Addisonian. Because once you stop the steroids, then if the adrenal glands on their own have shut down, now you're going to have an Addison's case, which is not enough steroids. So it's a tightrope. But when we do, using judicious doses of prednisone on usually a 3-day decreasing dose for typical skin allergies, it worked just fine. So, and again, during spring and summer, it's usually worse. If it's food, it may not help with food. So you need to obviously do a food trial. How do you know it's food? What are some of the clues that the allergies are food related? It's going to be face, rubbing face, ears, and mostly the feet, going after the feet. So if you have a dog and it's non-seasonal, if the problem is seasonal, then you know it's not food, because unless you change the food every season, which you're not doing, I'm sure. So it is something that seasonal allergies could also manifest with ears, atopy, atopic dermatitis, skin, ears, they could go after the feet. And nothing I've found when it comes to dogs that are going after their feet, I look for damage, erythema, redness, discoloration of the hair because the saliva staining on the feet. If I don't see that, and I see a dog just casually licking its feet, I will often tell the owners, this may not be food. This could be anxiety. Think of a thumb sucker. Think of a nail biter. They sit there, they're not hurting themselves, but it gives them some solace, some comfort. And with dogs, licking their feet does the same thing. If they're attacking their feet, you will usually see redness in between the digits or under the pads. It's called erythema, moistness, because there's too much licking. And because of the licking, you might see what we call saliva staining. The hair on the feet is going to be darker, and it's going to be almost like a darker brown. That is, they're going after their feet. Dogs that are doing it just for comfort usually aren't licking that aggressively. You're not going to see saliva staining. You're not going to see redness. They're not biting and scratching. They're just comfortably licking their feet. So anyway, something to keep in mind. So as far as other supplements, I mean, you could try things over the counter. You can try Benadryl in conjunction with steroid. might help. Not an antihistaminic effect, but Benadryl because of the sedative effect. It just might calm him down just a little, and that might make a difference. So something to try. But unfortunately, Apoquil is phenomenal. Zenrelia is phenomenal. I love Cytopoint because it's so much more convenient. But, one last thing. With food, with any kind of allergy, one thing that is often missed are the secondary bacterial infections. You gotta check for that, because when they get secondary infections, that is itchy. That in itself is itchy. So if you don't control that infection and you just control the allergy, they're gonna still scratch. So if you see sores, if you see redness, if you see scabs, if you see marks or what we call collarettes on the body, those are little circular lesions that are a little bit raised, a little bit crusty. Those are epidermal collarettes. Those are bacterial. If you're seeing a lot of that, then you need to treat the bacteria as well. And one last thing, if there's a lot of moisture, a lot of times we see a dermatologic malassezia. It's a skin, it's a fungal infection. So that too can be very itchy. So when we have these dogs that are coming in like a hot mess, and they have all the things, the criteria, I'll do Cytopoint or Apoquil or Zenrelia. I will do antibiotics and I will do antifungal medications and have them bathed regularly, religiously, once a week at least, if not twice a week, but at least once a week in an antibacterial shampoo and an antifungal shampoo. I have one called For Real, and it's got the ketoconazole, it's got the chlorhexidine, and you let them soak. Don't lather up your dogs, count to five and rinse them off. That's convenient for you, but it's not going to help. You lather them up. They need to sit for 10 to 15 minutes, lather it up, let that stuff sink in, and then you can do a thorough rinse. All right. Any other questions? You can text me anytime during the week. Let me just say hello. Sorry about that. Another few waves. And for those of you who are joining me late, tell your friends. Maybe next time you come in, come on sooner and have your questions. If he doesn't lick his paws, it's most likely not food. Best flea and tick control for my Frenchie, Simparica Trio. Simparica Trio is fine. I do like the isoxazolines. Those are NexGard and NexGard Plus if you want ticks as well. Credelio and Credelio Plus if you want the ticks as well. And finally, Simparica and Trio if you want the ticks as well. Bravecto. Bravecto is very effective for flea and ticks, but I have not yet seen it last for the 12 weeks it promises. So I see it work for 8 weeks. It's pretty good. So my recommendation is, because you're paying, if you're paying for the Bravecto, you're paying for the 12-week protection, but you only get eight, you might be better off just doing the one-month protection, which you're getting from all of them, and that's a good thing. So that would be a recommendation. And I'm just trying to think. There was one other, the flea and tick, when you have the combination medications, you want to test for ticks first, all right? Also, when you're doing things, not tick, I mean heartworm. It's a heartworm prevention. It's flea tick. They all do flea tick. The Apoquil, the plus for the Credelio, and the Trio for the Simparica, that's for the heartworm prevention additive. They all do flea and tick. So on the heartworm, you want to get a heartworm test first, just to make sure. I'll tell you why. A lot of these companies, I think all of them, will guarantee heartworm prevention. So if you prove before you start using it that you were heartworm negative, and then you've stayed on the course though every month religiously, if they should be bitten by a mosquito and get heartworm, the company will guarantee their product. So that's important to know. And therefore, I would always start with a heartworm test, make sure they're negative. The only way you get around it is if you have a puppy 5 months of age or less, you can probably just start the medication without the heartworm test first. So those are the things that we want to be really, really careful about. So is there anything else that I know, going back to the first question, the best control for the Frenchie? I would not, if you're doing Simparica Trio, I would continue. Now, Another thing you have to remember about all of the isoxazolines, they are not repellents. What they do is they kill the fleas and the ticks after the bite. It's in the bloodstream. So you may see at any moment, you may see fleas or ticks on your treated dog and you go, oh my God, that stuff's not working. No, it is working. That tick will be gone 100%. So just keep that in mind. All right. Let's say 9:36, it's our time. So anyway, thank you for joining me here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. If you have any questions during the week, you don't need to wait until Sunday to get them to me. Just ask away on my Instagram. You clearly have my Instagram. And Josie Hernandez about the Husky Mix, German Shepherd, right back leg limping. We need to talk about this another time. If you want to reach me privately on my Instagram, I will help you through that one. All right. Okay. All right. Very good. Have a great week, everybody. And enjoy your holiday Memorial Day weekend. If you're going to barbecue, like we talked last week or 2 weeks ago, beware of the fatty foods. Beware of the corn cobs. Dogs love corn cobs. And it's a big, big problem. So make sure you throw them away very securely, because I don't want to do another surgery on pulling a corn cob out. All right. Very good. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.